Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
Devin Hack is our next special guest on the show. A graduate student athlete on the baseball team, Devin has been a staple in the lineup since his freshman year, where he has held down center field for the Pirates. We got to discuss his early life throughout high school, his recruiting story, his experience at Seton Hall, battling through adversity of an injury, and any and all advice he has for fellow Pirate student athletes. It was a great conversation and an absolute honor to have the 2023 All Big East First Team member and Big East batting champ on the show. So without further ado, Devin Hack.
Welcome, Devin Hack, to the show. Hey, Jonathan, we finally got microphones back. Happy to have these things back. It's a beautiful Monday morning. Monday afternoon, campus of Seton Hall University. So first things first, Devin, how are you doing today on this fine afternoon?
Doing really well. You know, we had a long weekend, but having a day with no practice can sort of just like get back in my routine, hit the reset button a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important for me on Mondays, is just sort of just get that reset. Yeah. It's a beautiful day out, which you know, me and John play in all the elements. So any gorgeous day is that much more precious. So, you know, walking through campus today was like, it was pretty cool, man. Just seeing everybody on the lawn and walking through. So it was nice.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing day. Got to be a part of Dare to Care, which is a really cool event where the campus kind of focuses on the mental health of all the students here. They set up a bunch of tables, whether that's the rec center, which I was working. I know Hit an Opponent, which is a big for student athletes. Giving out some stuff, helping students get through this really rough time of the semester as we are winding down, which is crazy to say out loud. So talk to us about how your season's going so far. And I know it's only April and there's a lot of baseball being left to play, but talk to us about how you're doing so far this season.
Well, I'm sure John knows a little bit of this already. But it was sort of it's been a crazy journey for me so far. First game of the year, we came in, I was ready to go. We trained the whole fall, winter, early spring, and I get in there, and like the first game, I get in, get hit in the hand by 100 mile an hour fastball and fracture it.
That's not an exaggeration. It was a 100 mile an hour fastball.
So that put me out 5 weeks, but you know, I really grinded to get back as fast as I could, because man, this is my last year, and you know, maybe I did a couple extra like ball squeezes when I shouldn't have. But, you know, I was lucky enough to have our trainer, Caroline, and a lot of people supporting me to get back. So I was able to get back in 5 weeks. I got back for the end of the UMass series. And then, I think Mercer was my first full weekend back. And that Mercer series was incredible. I know Mercer came to our place a couple years ago, and they wiped the floor with us. And they've been in and out of the top 25. So going down there and taking two out of three was electric. It was so cool to be, you know, first weekend back to just do that. Was honestly, I think it was one of the most enjoyable moments for me as a player. Yeah. Just like the comeback weekend to just lay it on them. And all those games were electric too. The come from behind win on Sunday. It was pretty cool. So, and then, you know, the past couple weeks we've fell into a little bit of a lull. We're struggling with some execution, but I think personally it's something that you got to grind through. Like I've seen a lot over the course of my 5 years, and you know, the worst thing that you can do is dwell on it, and sort of like the worst thing you can do is be like, all right, well, we're losing games. This is who we are now. We're a losing team. We know that we can win. We took the series from Mercer, borderline top 25 team. we've beat some really good opponents. So we work really hard, and there's no reason why we can't turn it around, especially in Big East play. So we're at a rough spot right now, but we have some opponents coming up that I think we could definitely. We have the guys, we have the training, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we're gonna be A-okay.
Yeah, 100% agreed. And I don't want to glance over this Mercer series, because for context here, we're going on to Mercer, and this is like really your first true series back. Like, I think our first or second series that you were playing all three games. The weekend.
Yeah, that was my first one back.
And like, was it the first game? It was like four knocks.
Knocks. I remember seeing the graphic.
And I'm like, well, Devin Hack is back, ladies and gentlemen. And I was so happy for you as an individual, because the way you played like almost every game of your Seton Hall career. And when you think of Seton Hall baseball right now, you're in the lineup. That's just what it is. And to see you not in the lineup for those 5 weeks, you were hurt, it just didn't feel right. It was like, man, like that's our guy right there. He's not in the lineup, playing center field, locking it down. And to see you come back and just be like, I'm back, baby. Like, here we go, four knocks at Mercer, like, mm-hmm. in a tight game. We won by one run. Like, that was awesome. So I just wanted to give that a shout-out especially, because that was huge. And then in the first game, like, in the last inning, to make a ridiculous catch, to get four knocks, for a ridiculous Devin Hack catch. Like, now we're really back for sure. So no, it thanks, was really man. Cool. I just want to shout that out real quick.
Yeah, I was fired up just because, like, and it was sort of like the ultimate challenge, because it was my first weekend back, and then Mercer had all lefty pitchers. It was like they had three lefty starters, and then everybody out of the pen was a lefty. That was like 93 to 95, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Because I know I got my first hit at Hofstra, and it was a righty, a little bit of sink, went a little backside, and I went up to our hitting coach, G, and I was like, I just got to see a lefty slider. And he's like, oh, you'll get it. Little did I know, next weekend I was going to see seven lefties.
You don't like that. That's very rare. Really.
Yeah, I saw my fair share of lefties. But that's another thing that made that series so sweet was to be able to, like, get in there and sort of, like, tackle that immediate fear. Absolutely. It's not so much of a fear, but it's just, like, I know lefties are a little bit more of a challenging at-bat. Mm-hmm. So to get in there and do well was pretty encouraging. So that was good. Yeah.
That's not to dwell on the hand injury. When that happened, was that against a lefty as well, or was that a righty?
No, that was a righty. Okay. He just yanked a fastball. Mm-hmm. It was against Brody Brecht. He's a top prospect. Mm-hmm. I got to first base after, because I remember I got hit. I went down on a knee. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know how bad it was.
Right.
I ended up staying in the game for a little bit just to run the bases. And the first baseman was like, that's totally uncharacteristic. Like, he never does that. No, but it was against Iowa. And honestly, like, I want to give them credit, because I know after the game I had went to go get an x-ray on my hand, so I wasn't present. But I remember the team ended up going to that barbecue spot.
Both teams.
Iowa. Mm-hmm. So the Iowa coaching staff came up to Shep, and they apologized and were like making sure I was okay.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And Brody Brecht reached out to me.
Oh, sweet.
Personally, so I have a lot of respect for that program and for Brody, because you know, I don't know if that helped speed up my recovery, but. You know, just to have that in the back of my mind while I'm going through all this, where it's just like, I have the support that I have, and then I have people backing me. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was. I honestly think for what happened, the way that I was able to come back was like best case scenario, mm-hmm. and with the support that I had and everything.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. And we're glad to see you back in the lineup each and every weekend. So. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to with this team coming up in the next couple of weeks? Obviously, lots of time left in Big East play, but are there some things that you have circled on the calendar coming up?
I have UConn circled every single year. I know when I came here, St. John's and Creighton were the rivals. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, ever since I came here, UConn's always had our number. I don't think I've won a game against UConn here. So every time Big East rolls around, my eyes just go directly to that UConn series. And I want to beat him this year. Mm-hmm. I want to take the series. I want to sweep, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those guys, they, you know, they're a talented group of guys, but, man, they, something about it just rubs me the wrong way. It's just losing to them. It's just, when that series rolls around, we're all going to be locked in. And, you know, I'm confident we have the guys that can, you know, take them down. So I'm looking forward to it.
And that's in a couple weeks, right? That's the end of April, if I recall.
Butler, and then we go to,
it's when we come back, right?
Butler, and then I think it's UConn, the UConn, first St. John's, and Creighton. Yeah, so I think give it a couple weeks.
I know Creighton's your last away. You're at Creighton this year. That's your last away series before coming home over, I think, Mother's Day weekend.
Right.
I think. Because I'm working it behind the scenes doing something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know that UConn looks at Devin Hack and they're like, yeah. So, no, it'll be good, especially get him at home, too.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be really, really cool. I know Kevin Morton, who we had on the show, his son, Corey Morton, I asked Kevin Morton, I was like, what side are you doing, Seton Hall as an alumni? Are you doing UConn for your son? He's like, I'm going to wear a red shirt and sit in the middle. Like, all right, it's a root for both. So,
there you go.
But yeah, UConn's going to be a good series. So definitely excited for that one.
Yeah, me too. Well,
I can't wait. So let's backtrack really quick. Let's talk about your high school experience. So you won a New Jersey State Championship back in 2018. So talk to us about winning that state championship and just your high school experience as a whole.
So I was born in New Brunswick, New Jersey. I was there until I was 4 years old. And after that, I moved to Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
Small town, Somerset County. But we had really good public school. Like, our music program was great. Our sports programs were great. And I had a great group of athletes just around my age group. It was just sort of like a perfect group of guys coming together, because we all played Little League together, all played football together, and we loved it. So this was throughout middle school and into high school. We played freshman ball together, and we knew that we were talented. And Somerville, I don't think we hadn't won a group championship ever in any sport. So I remember at the beginning of that year, we had a lefty pitcher, Thomas Babilis, who ended up going to Binghamton. He was, I think he was like 89, 91 from the left side. And he was gross. I think we just threw him out there every single game. It was just like in high school, if you have one good arm, it's like, all right, we're good here.
Yeah.
But I know we had some good guys. I led off for us. We had that pitcher. I think we had an NJIT kid, Kane kid. We had several D1 kids.
A lot of college guys.
Yeah, a lot awesome. Of college guys. A couple Stony Brook guys.
Nice.
But I remember we just kept winning. We just kept winning. And we had a lineup that really worked together. We were really close. And we got to that championship game. We played Allentown. And Matt Bethay, who was on that team, Matt Bethay is... He was on the baseball team, and we caught up after about it. But I remember it was the classic story that I always tell is it was 2-1, I think, and we were the away team, and it was the bottom of the ninth. So we're winning 2-1, bottom of the ninth, we need three outs, and that's, you know, that would be the game. Soon as our pitcher throws the last pitch of warm-ups, it just starts raining. The skies open up.
Gosh.
And the umpires aren't saying anything. So we're like, all right. Walks the first batter. Walks the second batter. Walks the third batter. Bases loaded, no outs. Winning run on second base. And I'm sitting there in the outfield. They do a pitcher's meeting, comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in center. I'm like, man, I really hope we get this done. This is like worst case scenario here. But our closer, he was a good pitcher, and like I had faith that he could get out of it. So, you know, sure enough, he goes in there. I don't know what was said during that pitcher's meeting, but the way that this finishes is crazy. So goes, strikes out the first kid, strikes out the second kid, and then their best hitter comes up. He's hitting like 400 or something.
Storybook right
of
here.
Of course. Of course. Story. And then it's like 3-2 count. Bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, and he K's him.
Oh,
and,
my
and
goodness.
So he walked the bases loaded and then struck out the side.
Wow.
And we won it. So we stormed the field. It was like incredible. I had never been that nervous on a baseball field ever in my life. But that was a pretty crazy story. So that was Somerville's first group championship mm-hmm. ever, and still is to this day.
Wow.
So the lefty pitcher just got inducted into the our school's Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
That gives you a little idea of how good he was yeah. that year.
Yeah, that's insane. That's an awesome story. Because I know Somerville being like just smaller town vibes, like you said, and being able to do that, because I'm also kind of from a small town, and doing anything big like that is insane.
Means something, yeah.
And it really means something, especially when you can grow up with a group of guys that through youth ball, through middle school, that you can really get a sense of chemistry, and by the time you get to high school, you know how everything's running and clicking. So that's an awesome little tidbit. Even that last story about, of course the sky would open up, of course he would walk those three guys, but coming through with it at the end is amazing.
And that was your senior year.
That was my junior year.
I'm sorry, got yeah. it, guys. And you had your senior year, and were you already committed to Seton Hall?
Yeah,
your junior at point. Junior
I was.
Seton Hall. Okay,
I think
it.
I committed to Seton Hall. The summer after my sophomore year.
Summer after sophomore
So it was going
year.
Into my junior year.
Okay, so perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. Tell us about that. Like, how you got recruited, how you chose Seton Hall, what did that whole process look like for you?
So I grew up playing for the Diamond Jacks. Mm-hmm. That was my travel ball team out of Flemington, New Jersey. And I played with them ever since I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old. I was on – I grew up playing with Anthony Volpe, the shortstop for the New York Yankees. So he was always shortstop. I was always center.
so cool.
So we grew up in that program, and he was different. He was different. So he played for a couple of years, and then he did his own thing, Team USA, whatever. But right. I stayed with Diamond Jacks, and I played, I think, for 7 or 8 years, climbing through the ranks. And I think I was 14 or 15 at the time, and I was a small kid. I didn't have much power or anything, but what I could do is just run. Like I could run, and I could put the ball in play, and played good defense. And I remember making a list with my dad, like a recruiting list, because I knew that was sort of like I knew I wanted to play college baseball, mm-hmm. but I didn't know where I was going to end up, because I didn't really look like everybody else. Because I would scroll through the rosters, and I'd see like 6'3", 6'2", 220. I'm like 145 pounds, 150 pounds. I'm like, man. So I didn't really know. So I made a list of D3 schools, D2, D1. Mm-hmm. And Seton Hall was right at the top of my list of D1 schools. Because my grandfather mm-hmm. went to Seton yep. Hall. And I always heard good things about it. I had been to a couple Seton Hall games. And I just liked it. I liked how small the campus was. Some people like big campuses. I don't know. Something about Seton Hall's campus just clicked for me. It just mm-hmm. seemed right. So that was right at the top of my list. And sure enough, I kept playing, and I ended up going to a Seton Hall camp. And I don't know how I did. I don't know if I got a hit or anything, but I made a couple good defensive plays, and I think it was enough to catch the eye of Skip. And I remember seeing them. They headed out to one of my travel games. And I ended up laying down a base hit bunt or something and beat it out. I got like a little like flare hit. And like, sure enough, they were like, you know, they were on my radar. And, you know, it was just every time they came to see me play, I was just playing how I know the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about in a lot of the speeches that, you know, I or a lot of the conversations I have with the team, it's just like, be the player that you are, man. Don't try to be anybody else. And that's how I've always played. Mm-hmm. I just play hard. You know, the motto of Seton Hall baseball is never lose your hustle. And that's honestly how I have always played. I might not play the most smart, like taking care of my body the best way, like sliding in head first into first base or like doing crazy things. I've gotten better with it over the years. I really have. But I've always just played like as hard as I can. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that just sort of clicked for me. So anyway, I sort of went on a little tangent there. But I remember Coach Shep called me and we set up an official visit and I came over and they gave me the whole tour of the campus and everything. And they ended up offering me that day. And they were like, all right, you know, we're going to give you a couple days here and just let us know what you think.
Yeah.
So my parents were there with me. And as I said, I had no idea where I was going to end up because I was really undersized and everything. And I knew I wanted to go to Seton Hall really bad, but I didn't show it in that room. So we like left out the front doors of the rec and like as we turned the corner, like in front of the gym, we all just like celebrated and like hugged each other and everything.
That's awesome.
So
that's great.
We got in the car and we just talked about it. And as soon as I got home, I called Skip up. I was like, let's do it, man. So I committed like when I got home. So I knew I wanted to go to Seton Hall like forever. And it's been the right choice for me.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So is there anything that you suggest to up-and-coming baseball players that want to play at the college level to really focus on and highlight? I know we've talked to a bunch of people saying getting stuff on social media now or just highlighting stats and emailing to coaches. Was there anything that you would specifically highlight if you can go back to high school ball and really showcase to college coaches now?
To get on the radar of Seton
Hall? Yeah, obviously.
Just like college recruiting now, I guess it probably has changed a little bit since we were playing. With the route that you went, what do you think will be your advice to like younger players in high school now trying to play college baseball? I think you already alluded to like just be the player you are, but how about like external things they can do? What do you think is like the best route to go about it?
Well, I know for me, I went to the camp.
Yeah.
And I think the Seton Hall camps are, like, really good because Seton Hall wasn't the only camp I went to.
Sure.
I went to a bunch of different camps. I actually met John at a camp.
That's true.
I
we got to tell the story.
I have to tell this story.
This is
– Have you –
No,
you heard this
no, story? No.
Okay.
Go for this.
So me and John – well, I ended up going to a Fairleigh Dickinson camp, right?
And I was also at the Fairleigh Dickinson
camp. And John's from Massachusetts. So anyway, we are at this Fairleigh Dickinson camp. And I'm in the first batting practice group, and I think John's at shortstop.
I
was kind of looking at John. I was like, that kid's good. Like he's a good fielder, you know, because like you can, you know, you've been around baseball for a while. You can kind of like pick out who's good. And so I was like, damn, that kid's good. But anyway, the BP pitcher sets up the mound and everything, gets the screen in front. He goes to throw like the first pitch. And I like hit it up the middle and hit him right in the face.
Usually with an L screen, you throw and you finish behind the L screen. He threw and it was just
he
right
never
there.
Moved.
And Demi goes, whack, like right up the middle, smokes him. So keep going. Yeah,
smoked him in the face and he falls down on his back. I thought I knocked him out. Like I thought I killed him. John, I forget what he said. He
gets up and goes like, that's a great speed of hitting right there. Because like, he like collapsed.
Dude,
I remember at least. Collapses.
Yeah, collapsed on the ground. Up, yeah.
And then does that.
He did that. And,
oh my God.
And anyway, so like me and John always bond over this story. But the end of the story is me and my dad got in the car and closed the doors. And he's like, well, I guess you're not going to FDU.
I'll go one step further. I didn't know that was Devin that hit that coach in the face until we met on our official visit at the Pru Center when watching a basketball game.
Yeah.
So I'm meeting Devin and we're talking and whatnot. And because like we didn't like really like talk a whole lot at the camp. Like we probably saw each other and all that. And I got to talking with Devin. And Devin and I were talking about what other school we're looking at and this, that, and other thing. And he was talking about the FDU camp. And then we're texting about this on the ride back from the Pru Center. And he's like, dude, do you remember that coach that got drilled in the face at the FU camp? I'm like, yeah, dude, that was crazy. He goes, that was me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
That is hilarious.
So that's how me and me and John were on a baseball field for the first time. That's
that
what
is
happened.
Crazy. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
And I know we probably, like, the club team I played on in the summer probably played versus the Diamond Jacks in some capacity.
Probably.
So like, we may even play each other instead of that. Yeah. But before we move on, I wanted to add one story. I don't know if I told you this, that when our freshman year, before COVID happened, everything like that, I remember Coach Pinkman, our former pitching coach, was talking to me. He's like, I went to a game when I was looking at some pitchers, and Devin was there too, and Devin just got on base. It didn't matter. It did not matter. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I saw you play that whole fall, and I was like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, makes sense. So it was pretty cool. I don't know if I ever told you that, so I want to address it here at least. So yeah. Pretty cool. Props to you.
That is awesome. So
yeah.
As we get into your Seton Hall story, which you touched upon, your great recruiting story, so kind of touch upon your experience here at Seton Hall. Like, what are some of your favorite memories throughout your now going through your fifth year here at Seton Hall?
That's tough.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a simple question. It's just I've been through a lot here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Been through a lot, but I guess some of my favorite moments were, I know Tyler Burnham, he was a pitcher here years ago, threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Was it against Georgetown or Butler?
Sunday, Georgetown. Yeah, yeah.
Georgetown, Sunday, Big East play, throws a no-hitter, and I was on the field for that, and I remember I was saying that I was really nervous during the state championship game. That was probably number two.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm usually very confident in the outfield, mm-hmm. but I was like, oh man, I don't want to drop a ball. I don't want to bobble something. I don't want whatever. But yeah, that was a great moment. I know we had a win against University of Florida down there, which was incredible. There's a lot, but let's see. If I had to choose one,
I'm mixing UNC there too.
Oh,
yeah,
that was okay. Yes, yeah. That's a really good one. I think UNC last year was a statement win because the year before I think they swept us, and we came in with a brand new coaching staff. The year after, and UNC was on the schedule again. Yeah. And it was that same type of thing with UConn, where it's just sort of left a bad taste in my mouth. And, you know, our hitting coach, he made us believe that we could win against them. We were like, there's no reason why we can't win. And he was just prepping us for that opening day the whole year. And we walked in there, and we put it on them right away, right?
Right, first inning.
Yeah.
Right away, first inning.
Yeah.
And, that was a statement win. That was sort of just like, all right, all our hard work just paid off right there. That's like what we've been preparing for, and that's what we can do.
Exactly.
And last year we had a great year. And, you know, so that statement win was pretty incredible at UNC. Yeah,
that is for sure. So we're going to start wrapping up here. We're going to start with advice to a pirate. And this is a cool question because we're all fifth years in this room. So what advice would you give to any Seton Hall Pirate trying to have a great long-lasting college career as you have had so far through your 5 years?
I think something that I've learned is to stay true to what works for you.
Mm.
I think a lot of people, you know, look for advice or for inspiration of what to do in terms of routine or things like that. But, like, for what works for me is, like, I'm a big feel guy. I think overtraining has always been detrimental for me. And I think I've sort of incorporated that into my routine to where it's like, okay, I'm going to get my feel. I'm going to get out. I'm going to do what I need to do in the weight room, and I'm going to get out. I just think, like, developing your routine for what works for you is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. Especially playing for so long, you have to know what works for your body. And everyone's different. Everyone has different injuries that they go through. I know I've had my injuries. John has his. It's like everyone's different. Mm-hmm. And I think that staying true to what works for you as a player and not really worrying too much about like, oh, well, like I'm doing something a little different. Like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I want to incorporate this into my routine. Yeah. That's fine. I think that learning the player that you are over the course of your 4 years is what you need to do, even if it takes time. I think the importance of developing a really good routine that's personal and specific to you as a player, doesn't matter what sport, is really important because, as I said, everyone's different. You hear stories of athletes that have like these really weird routines or like superstitions. It's because everybody's different and people gravitate toward different things. So I think that staying true to who you are as a player and like what feels good, what works for you, I'm a big proponent of that.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I think it's a really insightful and very true answer. And I think you're mature and like wise enough like to realize that like early on, like in your career, like looking at you from like as a teammate. And it's cool to see because like everyone has like their own routines and what works for them, but you, I think, discovered, it seems like early on, like what worked for you, and you stayed very true to that, and that helped you perform the best you can as a player. I know for myself and for a lot of people, they kind of like, I don't want to say float around, but it takes them long to get the routine down and know that that's true to them and stick to that and have like the guts to stick to it. And that's sometimes hard to do when you know it, when it's not going well, and you're like, oh man, I should try this, that, and another thing, but you stayed so true to that, especially last year. I know Giuseppe's talked about this, like you didn't have the start of the season you did last year in terms of the non-conference play, but then when the conference play came around, you stuck with it. You batted like close to .500 in conference play. And like that's like talking about sticking to a routine, sticking to a plan, sticking to what works and is true to you. That's like exhibit A right there. Mm-hmm. So for anyone, just like knowing what works for you, it's not going to work for someone else, but just to stay true, that is huge. I want, again, I point out like 3 or 4 different things since I want to point that out again, so it's really true.
Thanks, John.
I know in terms of time, we want to get to the walk the plank. Devin Hack's also a student athlete here. He goes to class too. So get down and walk the plank. So start up.
Walk the plank. These are obviously these are quicker based questions here. Obviously, if you have a little bit more of an explanation, please feel free to explain a little bit. So what is one player that you emulate your game after?
Ooh. I mean, I grew up watching Brett Gardner. And Brett Gardner was a left fielder for the Yankees. He wasn't like the player, didn't hit the most home runs, but he was fast and like he got on base. It was the same type of thing. And it's like a lot of people, they want to look for the best swing, the biggest guy with the most home runs, has the highest average. He was not player in that regard. Mm-hmm. But like I related to that because I wasn't a guy with a bunch of tools, but like, his game sort of matched mine a little bit.
I totally see it.
And that's sort of who I watched. I was like, that's Brett Gardner. Like, hey man, I'm a Brett Gardner type of guy.
I love it.
But yeah, that's how I sort of played. Brett Gardner played hard. He was passionate. Like, he would get all the time just because he was really passionate about the game and because he cared so much.
Yeah.
Like, I relate to that a lot. So I think I'd say Brett Gardner.
Awesome.
Love that one. What is one dream stadium that you would want to play in? Could be MLB, could be college. Either pick your poison.
I want to play at Fenway. I've been I'm a Yankee fan at heart, but like I got to push the rivalry aside. And I've been to Fenway. I watched the game. I watched them play the Blue Jays there. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I would love to play on that field, just Green Monster, and I don't know. It's definitely the most beautiful park, in my opinion, and it feels so small. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe if you haven't been there, but it's almost like cozy a little bit. It's just everything is so close together. The chairs are so close together. Everyone's right on top of each other. Mm-hmm. But like, it's really cool. I would love to play there one day.
My goal is to get to a game one of these days. I'll put it that way. So
I would recommend.
Need to get up there.
And I'm biased, so of course.
Yeah, John, being from
next one, favorite all-time video game.
These questions are tailored to you, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely, tailored to me. All-time video game, I've played a lot of video games. I've played FIFA. I've played Destiny 2. But I got to say Call of Duty, just because Warzone. I know a lot of people are going to be watching this probably know that I play a good deal of Warzone. But I definitely say Call of Duty Warzone.
And you were on a competition, was it? For
oh yeah, I did. Yeah, I represented Seton Hall. I played under like the Seton Hall Barstool esports account.
Oh, sweet.
Because it was like this last minute opening in this Barstool esports tournament, and me and my friend, we play Warzone together. So we got like a last minute entry into this tournament. So we played against like, Arizona and Oklahoma State and all these different schools. So that was pretty cool.
That's sweet.
Really cool. I'll take the last two here. Mm-hmm. We know that all student athletes have access to the hot and cold tubs in the athletic training rooms. Are you a hot tub guy, cold tub guy, or a contrast guy?
I'm a hot tub guy.
Just a hot tub guy?
Just a hot tub guy. It's like I've tried the cold tub and I've gone back and forth before. But I don't know. It's hard to do it every day. And I know there's benefits to doing it, but it's just like I like to be loose.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's another thing that I really like is just to like try to stay as loose as possible all the time. Mm-hmm. That works for me.
Especially for baseball.
Yeah. 100%. Just keep everything sort of everything loose. That's what I do.
Perfect. And then I'll take the last one. Yep. Final one here. Describe your play style in one word.
One word.
We save the best for last here on this show. The hardest one for last.
I'd probably say passionate.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just because I think that it encapsulates a little bit more than just one describing word. Like, I could say hard. Like, I play the game hard. But, like, I play the game hard because I'm passionate about the game.
Right.
I've always played it that way. And I've found that the game is the most fun for me when I play like that.
Mm.
And just using every ounce of ability and that I was given, you know?
Yeah.
And I talk about it with the team a lot that I think it's how you can be successful as a player. It's just using every ounce of your body, your skill that you have. And, like, that's what you owe to the game.
100%.
And if you don't do that, it's like you're not giving the game all you got. John, you do that, man. You're, like, you're another guy that I, not the most toolsy. Like, you and me both, not the tallest, not the strongest, me either. But, like, we just play the game really hard. Yeah. And you're another, never lose your hustle guy.
Appreciate that.
And we have that in common. So being able to talk on this podcast with John is like pretty incredible because we share a lot of the same values on the baseball field. And that's like why we connect so well. So I think that's a good way to sort of.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, we come a long way from me being 145 pounds, you being 145 pounds.
No.
I was definitely a lightweight for sure in terms of, I was not 160 pounds, like I said, in my recruiting sheet. No way. I definitely lied there. God. Sorry, Skip, but yeah. But that does it from me.
Yeah.
Does
it from me as well.
I know. We'll
thank you so much
class,
for coming on this afternoon. And as this will come out next Monday on the 22nd. But big series against Xavier here at home. And a lot of baseball left to be played here at Mike Shepherd Senior Field as the weather finally gets warmer. As next week, during the middle of the week, Ryder and Columbia on Tuesday and Wednesday come to town. So good luck with the rest of your season. Thank you for coming on. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.